Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had, so it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. Today, I'm going to be talking about the lesson in trying. But before I get started on trying, I just thought I'd share a funny story because I now have sort of a co-host for my podcast. He's very quiet. He probably won't say much, but you may hear him at times sneezing, maybe barking. It is my dog, Moji. So the story behind Moji and why he is now with me in my home studio is because he now has learned how to get upstairs. Not down yet, but up. And so when he was a baby, and if you're a dog trainer, don't get mad at me for this, but I clearly tried to get him to go downstairs too early on his own, and he got scared of stairs. Now we have like three or four stairs that go out of our house from our front porch onto the sidewalk. So I pushed him to get not, you know, it wasn't a mean way. I thought he was fine and capable, but I think he just wasn't ready yet. So he got a little afraid of stairs, and in so much as he goes up and down the stairs, but he kind of like gets scared. He slips very easily. And so I thought, well, I need to get him to be okay with the stairs. And so it's been a little bit of process. Our stairs inside our house are carpeted, and so they're not real slippery and scary like the other stairs. And so what I decided to do is I work out in my basement, and he likes to be with me. He's like my BFF. And so I started to bring him down with me during my workouts and then encourage him to come upstairs. And I would coax him with treats. So he was scared at first, right? Because he had to get over his fear. And he would sit at the bottom of the stairs and whine. So I would put a treat like halfway up the stairs. And it didn't take him very long. I mean, it very quickly, he got used to it. And the treats were more important than his fear. And he got over his fear. So what happened is that he got used to, you know, it was a couple of weeks of doing this where he was going down and being with me while I worked out, sitting on the couch, watching me do my workout, not participating, just watching. But I used to do that with my other dog. And it was kind of nice to have a little friend while I was working out. So my husband went out of town, and so I was all by myself, and I came downstairs. And of course, now he thinks he can come downstairs with me at any time. He's included. And so I came downstairs to do a podcast recording, and I did not want to bring him down because he can be a handful. And so my husband was out of town, so I put him in. We have this little doggy pen that we put him in when we go out. So I put him in there and I came downstairs and he was like screaming. And I could not record a podcast because of the noise. So I said, okay, I'm going to just have to take him downstairs and let him be with me while I record my podcast. So now anytime I come downstairs to do my workout or do my podcast, he has to be with me. And he is the cutest thing. I do have a couch. I used to use the couch to sit on, and now I have a chair. So now the couch is Moji's couch. So if you're on my YouTube channel, before I finish and stop recording, I will let you see him. He's a cutie pie. He looks like a miniature sheepdog. So he's black and white. If you follow me on my stories, you will probably see him periodically because I share pictures of him because he's so cute. But anyways, enough about that. So I wanted to share with you that I do have this co-host but he won't be saying much. All right. So we're going to talk about trying and the lesson in trying. And it's not probably what you think. And the reason I decided to talk about it as a lesson, and it's not so much a lesson I learned because I actually learned it a while ago. It's a lesson that I was reminded of and I wanted to share because I got into a conversation with someone on social media, somebody I don't really know. And she was following me and she saw one of my videos and it triggered her in some way because it made her feel like, I suppose that she's aware that her life is not where she wants it to be. Yet she wants it to be different, but feels that she can't. And she messaged me. We started to have a back and forth message exchange, and she started to use the word trying. And what I realized is that she is so busy trying, which means it's an excuse for not doing anything, that her life is stuck and will never change. And it's so funny because the reason why I want to talk about this is because the word trying can keep us stuck. Now, trying doesn't have to be a bad word. So, and when I was thinking about this, I was thinking it's to me kind of like, depending on how you use it, if you're talking about in the moment, like, let me try this out. And you're doing something in the moment to try something. Let me try this new kitchen gadget. Let me try this new tool. Let me try this new move. Well, you're kind of doing it in that moment and you're trying to see if you can do it. And that's totally fine. But when you're talking about a future thing, that's usually where the problem is when you're talking about something in the future that you're going to try. And what that usually indicates is that it's kind of an excuse to opt out. It's kind of a probably won't do it, but you say you're going to try because that just sounds better. And you really do want to try, but it indicates a lack of total commitment. And so I thought, and I went back to look for the message because I was going to use actually her exact verbiage, but I can't find it. And I think she probably blocked me. So she didn't like what I had to say, but that's real talk, right? Sometimes we get triggered by these things and we really don't want to know the truth because not trying takes effort. Trying doesn't really take a lot of effort. You think it will. In the moment, yes. In the moment. If you try, it doesn't, you will make an effort because you're saying it in the moment and you're doing it in the moment. I have some examples I thought I would use. Like if it's something on your to-do list, that is a hint. So for example, I am going to try to work out later today. Now, when I say that, I know that usually means other things are going to be more important and I probably won't get it done. Later in the week, I'm going to try and work out 5 times this week. Well, are you really committed to doing that? I'm going to try to get that project done by the end of the week. Well, are you really going to get it done? Or are you just preparing somebody that you probably won't get it done? That usually is an indicator that you're warning somebody it's not going to get done, right? I mean, think about it. How do you feel when somebody else uses it on you? Like it involves you and they're going to try, but they're not going to really make a total commitment to that thing that you need help with or that you're hoping that you can work on with them, whatever that may be. I'm going to try and get my life in order. And also if the try includes a but, then you're really in trouble. I'll try to get my life in order, but you see, I have no time. I have no support. I have, you know, so the try really is it's almost like seeking approval that like, yes, I'm trying, I'm going to try. But really it's one of those words that is kind of a disempowering word. I've talked about that before. I've talked about the word should in a past episode. So I thought I'd give some tips. So when it comes to the word try, and this might help you going forward, because I think it's just a really good word that says a lot about what that thing is that you're trying to do that you probably won't do. And what's behind that? Why are you just trying and not actually following through and doing it? So the first thing that I would suggest is that start to be aware of how often you use the word. I really am aware now when I use it, I'm like, oh, what did that mean? What did that mean? Why did I do that? Am I really committed or am I not committed, and why? So become aware of how often you use the word and start noticing how much other people use it. When is it used on you, or when do you overhear it being used? So that's interesting. And then tip number two, question it. Why are you using it? Peel back that first layer of, awareness is layer, is the surface, right? And then the why is like next layer. Are you fully committed to that thing? Maybe measure on a scale of 1 to 10. How committed are you? I like to use the commitment scale when I'm working with people and I have an application to come and work with me. I always ask the commitment question because I don't want to work with somebody who isn't committed fully. You don't answer 10, you're not going to get an interview. So check into that commitment level. Is it something you really want? Is it tied to, is it a task on your to-do list that is tied to a larger goal that you're striving for? So using the example of, you know, trying to work out, are you trying to lose weight? And this one workout will get you closer to that goal. Are you not fully committed to that outcome? Why are you just going to try? Why aren't you like, replace the word try with am. Try that. I am going to work out today. Well, that's full on commitment. I am. No buts about it. I am committed fully to getting that done. So the one in terms of project, well, is it related? Is that project related to a longer term goal of wanting to get a promotion, wanting to get a raise? So isn't trying not an option if you want that larger goal? And then I want to get my life in order. I'm going to try to get my life in order. Well, if you just try, chances are that nothing's going to change. Just one step will take you closer. The third tip is when you ask the question why, and you really come up with, like, it's because I'm not fully committed to that goal. What are the reasons? Once you ask why, the next step is to figure out what the reasons are. If you are fully committed to that, but you're just trying that next step, that step that will take you one step closer to your goal, but you're fully committed to that goal, but you're not doing what you need to do to get there. What is the reason? So awareness, why, and then what? What is it that you think? Because all this stuff is so good to just really investigate. I think it was also on my mind because I'm getting ready to do my Ignite Your Second Half Soul live training series. And what often happens is that people enroll, they sign up to do the free training, and then they disappear. They get too busy. And then I get emails and messages later that said, oh, when are you going to do this again? I really need it, but I can't do it because, you know, I tried. Well, yeah, they didn't do it because they were just going to try to do it. So then they come back 6 months later and they're no better off than where they were. And if they had had my free training, and maybe it's because it's free, because we don't sometimes put value on things that are free. But 6 months later, they're still in the same place because it's just been trying for 6 months. So some of the reasons we try is because we are in a time driven world where we don't have a lot of it. So sometimes that's an excuse because we're like, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to have enough time. So I'll try because I just might not be able to fit it in. Well, I've said this before, we all have the same 24 hours in our day. And so what on our schedule is less important to us than this thing that we're just trying? Maybe it's not important. So trying is fine, right? You're not going to do it. You don't really care. You're not really committed to it. So this is when you really care about it and it's tied to a long-term goal and you're just for whatever reason, not doing it, not making it important. So sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's a fear of not doing it good enough. I look back at the examples and I'm thinking, okay, what would happen if you think like I'm not doing it good enough. So at the workout example, I'm thinking sometimes I'm just like, you know, I can't fit that in. I have to get all these things done on my list. I can't fit it in. Can't fit in that 30-minute workout. Well, what about a 15-minute workout? Instead of trying to work out, I can actually commit to at least taking 15 minutes. And it's so funny because you can actually sit in front of the TV and watch TV and do exercises on the floor in front of the TV. So you can actually, if you are like overworked and overwhelmed and you're like, oh, I just need to decompress. I don't want to really work out right now. But you are watching TV at night, then just hold a plank, do a few sit-ups. So yeah, push-ups from the knees. You can do those, right? It's good enough if it's something better than nothing, in my opinion. Coming from a past perfectionist. Yeah. And in terms of like, if you want to talk about a project, I mean, depends on what the project is, right? I mean, gosh, putting a dent in the project, like not doing it at all and not even pushing it to next week, that's the worst case scenario. But maybe getting it into draft form or at least getting it 50% done. And then the other thing, you know, and if we're talking about like trying to make life changes, because that was what this conversation was about with this woman, is like just trying and doing nothing about her life that she was miserable in. She was coming up with all kinds of excuses. And so the thing with that is, I always say, because if we have a goal and it's related to like big life changes, then it seems so far away and impossible. And so what I always like to say is just do the one step that will get you the next place. You know, an example might be like my free training, or an example might be go get a book that has something in it. Like one book that I love is, and it really, I remember reading it a long time ago when I was a Beachbody coach, and it really set me on a path to really start me on this journey. And it was Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life by Brian Tracy. Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life. I'll put it in the show notes. I'll find it because it was really good. It was really a good foundational getting started book. And so that is just like one thing that will take you one step closer, and you're not trying and not getting anything done. So I like the quote, progress, not perfection. So that helps the kind of like, I'll try, but then I won't because it's not going to be good enough. if you find out that that's kind of the reason behind why you're not doing it. And then, of course, there's the fear of failure. Oh my gosh, that's a big one, right? Because we perceive, and this kind of is kind of a little bit deeper level of not good enough, is we just won't do it if we think we're going to fail. There's just that saying, the quote, failure is not an option. Well, failure doesn't exist if you start thinking about everything you do is progress. Even failure is progress. There are some pretty wealthy thought leaders who actually think the more you fail, the more you succeed. So the more you do those things that you fear will be a train wreck, perhaps. I'm not smart enough. I'm not skilled enough. Holding back. I know a lot of people who are sitting on businesses that have the potential to change their lives, and they're not actually, because they're so afraid they're going to fail. But isn't failing not even trying, not putting that business out there and making the commitment level a 10 to do all the things that you need to do? So those are the things behind trying. Fear of failure is really kind of about us trying to protect ourselves, you know, us trying to keep ourselves from looking bad. It's all kind of a internal judgment thing, because we're not perceived as failing by other people, really. In fact, most people who look on the outside and see somebody who fails, they actually have a high opinion of them, because they think, wow, at least she or he is taking action. At least he or she is doing something that they desire. So trying is one of those words that we tend to use a lot, but it tends to, especially when you're thinking about something out in the future, it tends to allow us to opt out of that thing. And so that's what I wanted to talk about today, because the person that I communicated with on Instagram just wanted to spend the rest of her life that she wants to change trying. And if you try and you try and you try, you're probably not really taking action. Check in with that and see if it's true. Maybe you think I'm crazy. I'm just sharing, based on my experience, what I've seen and what I've done and the way I use it, so I can have an excuse to get out of something. I'll try to do that thingamajig. And in my mind, I know that that's a maybe. It's not a yes. In my mind, it's in the maybe column. And so I'm really careful now and pay attention to when I use the word try. And then I really check in to say, like, why did I say that? Why am I not serious about this thing that's really important to me? And what's behind it? So hopefully the lesson in trying is helpful to you, and you will not try so much. Try in the moment, yes, but in the future, watch out for that word. It might mean there's something behind that. And it's worth examining. All right. So now my dog Moji is behind the pillows. So I will grab him, see if he will come on camera with me. Hang on for a second. If you're on audio, probably just want to stop here. Oh my gosh, here's Moji. Isn't he beautiful? Yeah, say hi. Say hi. I've realized that dogs really can't see TVs and cameras because he has no focus. My other dog was like that too, but he's a sweetheart. He's so cute. He's a Pouton. Part poodle, part Coton de Tulear. And Emoji, this is your debut. It's your debut. You want to say hi? That was me sniffing my gum. Okay. Imitating what he would do if he talked on the microphone. That's it for now. And have a great week. And I'll see you next Friday for a new lesson. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.